one is a sober show. The only place to go. Bruce and Shelley and Mark, let them light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANOACAGAPASLASLASERRMAMMDRAHAPACGASMART or those folks
that
prom. It's something better, recovery training or something.
Okay.
It's like the Society for Moderating Recovery Training, or I can't remember. It apparently it's a fairly large organization, though. It's along the lines
that we don't speak for them.
We don't speak for them. It's along the lines of like Rational Recovery. They sort of have a like multi-step program, but it's not faith-based. Oh. So it's for heathens, I guess. I don't know. Seems to work for them, so more power to them. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
Mark just got a call from God. God's on the phone. Sweet. So, Shelley.
What?
Epic pause. So, what are you doing? What are you making?
A scarf.
For whom?
Our friend Marilyn.
Oh, for my mom's friend Marilyn?
Yes.
Awesome.
Not...
Is that for Christmas?
Yes.
Shelly's rocking on scarves right now. She's going to make 783 scarves by the time December 24th rolls
my
around.
My hands will cooperate. I've got plenty of yarn. I stocked up on the yarn in like July and August, and I started...
Dude, we get these deliveries come in, and it's like a good-sized box, and it weighs nothing. I'm like, what the hell is in this? It's yarn. She's getting all eco-friendly. Oh, it's yarn made out of plastic bottles.
It is.
Mark got that look of that. Mark did exactly what a dog does when it doesn't get something. He turned his head to the side like, what?
Yeah, it's made out of recycled plastic bottles.
Oh, nice.
I mean, yeah. That's all like synthetic fibers are.
It's acrylic yarn, right?
Yeah, it's made out of petroleum, so they're plastic bottles.
Sweet.
100% post-consumer content.
Okay, Mark, it's going to be a while before this show goes up, of course.
Okay.
Tell us now. It'll be almost like a prediction. Dodgers make it to the World Series?
Yes.
Shelley instantly says no. Peanut Gallery says no. I say the jury's out.
They always choke. They always choke.
They don't always choke.
Nearly always.
They've got a bunch of World Series victories for guys that always choke. Think Kirk Gibson. The greatest non-choke of all time. But they've had a time the last couple of games.
They have.
They're down two games to none.
Yep.
They're coming back to LA for three games. I'm just getting this as a prediction. We'll see what happens. What do you think the Vegas line is on that right now?
Don't know.
You think it's pretty big though? Against the Dodgers?
Well, yeah, obviously they're not the favorite anymore to win this thing, but we'll see what happens.
Didn't the second half of the season like they do something like incredible, like have like a 50-8 record or something, like 150 games, lost 8 or something?
They had a streak like that for a bit, but they got a solid team. They just got to find their bats.
Okay,
Hanley's back tomorrow.
Oh, all right. Well, that means it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze. Wow, Shelley's like the boozy news on meth. And, I suppose I should bring the boozy news up where I can see it. Now, this is a good one to start out with. The innards.
Yeah, any shout outs?
Any shout outs?
Oh, yeah, we do. Shout outs to Bill, Don. Donald, Mark, Brian, and me. There you go.
You shouted out yourself for finding your news?
I did. Oh, no, no, no. I had to go find I had to go find a bunch of these myself. I found this one, as a matter of fact.
So when we do the next topic of narcissism, we can know.
Yes. Innards of chicken nuggets revealed by scientists. This one Dr. Richard DeShazo said he noticed that his grandkids were eating nuggets almost rather addictively. Like a lot of kids, you know, it's nuggets, nuggets, they got to have nuggets, they got to have nuggets. So he said really the only way to figure this out is let's open them up and test them, and we'll do it like we're doing an autopsy, and let's see what's in there.
He autopsied a nugget?
Yes, they did.
And
the nugget from the first restaurant had 50% skeletal tissue, which is what we typically consider to be meat, even though it's not.
Parts is parts.
The second restaurant included only 40% and other goodies.
Hair,
rest
talons.
Of the nuggets were fat, skin, connective tissue, blood vessels, nerves, and bone fragments, they said.
Don't forget the mouse droppings.
I didn't. They didn't find any mouse droppings in these ones.
Less than 1%.
But Dr. Richard said that I got a little bit curious about what was in the nuggets. Because he was quoted as saying, it almost seemed like they were habitual, that kids were addicted to them, although they didn't find anything in them that was addictive or habit-forming.
That's kind of gross.
It's, you know, what was the old commercial? Yeah, parts is parts.
Parts is parts.
Although the company that said that was Kentucky Fried Chicken, because they said, if you're going to have nuggets, why don't you have nuggets that are made out of chicken? And then the guy in Fast Food Nation said the one place he would never eat was Kentucky Fried Chicken. Which is a shame, because... I kind of like Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Ooh, yuck.
I kind of like this. Man blames bathroom emergency for a high-speed police chase.
Okay, I'll buy that.
He's in Logan, Utah. Story from Brian. Guy's humming down the highway 120 miles an hour. Cops start pursuing him. They pull him over at the rest stop.
In other words, he pulled over because he had to go.
Yeah. When he went in front of the judge, the judge called the explanation one of the worst stories he has ever heard. He had led the highway patrol on a high-speed chase because he had an upset stomach and was racing to get to a certain rest area. Judge says that sucks because he passed like four or five other rest areas on the way.
Drug drop.
He did plead guilty to failure to stop.
Okay.
And impaired driving. Doesn't say what impaired him, but I'm guessing it was booze.
Irritable bowel syndrome.
Yeah, really. Rampant diarrhea.
Nanny state update. It should be a regular feature. This should be a regular feature. Long Island, New York.
Isn't it always New York?
Kids love to play soccer. Soccer's, you know, a sport that children, that you can use up a lot of energy playing soccer.
Yep.
They are going to outlaw soccer balls because they are too hard.
What?
Well, not outlaw like in general, but Weber Middle School recently placed a ban on several things. Balls, including baseballs, lacrosse balls, and soccer balls. And games like tag and cartwheels will only be done under the care and supervision of staff of the school. So you can't play tag unless the school's there.
Well, the kids will get around that, and I'll tell you how they will. They'll do it the way we did it when we were kids. First recess, the boys chase the girls. Second recess, the girls chase the boys. That's what we did. It's not tag. We're playing chase.
they will provide Nerf balls to be used in their place because God knows, you know, a good game of soccer requires a Nerf ball.
Oh, yeah, you can really kick a Nerf ball.
You know what would be great? The one time that the sprinklers were on that morning, that Nerf ball will turn into a giant slog of water. And someone will kick it, and some kid will get hit by it and get knocked down because a Nerf ball will weigh 73 pounds.
Then they'll have to outlaw the sprinklers.
No. Mark has no comment on this.
He's just flabbergasted.
A quote from this story is, even in an age when helicopter parents don't let their kids pass into the driveway and insurance costs make it hard to have a jungle gym on the playground, the move to make schools bat and ball free zones is just wrong, said Arthur Kaplan of the New York University Sports and Society Program. Ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I mean, come on, people.
I'm watching football today with a guy.
Yeah.
His parents wouldn't let him play football because it was too dangerous.
Yeah.
They let him race motocross instead.
Oh, and clearly that's not dangerous.
Yeah, he goes, I broke both wrists, broke my back. Broke one leg, caved in one side of my head, but football was too dangerous.
Jeez. People have a really skewed view these days of, like, what's safe and appropriate for kids.
Sent in by Bill. How e-cigarettes lead to heroin.
What?
Okay.
Oh, clearly, I am on the road to heroin.
WNBC... one of the New York stations in New York City, again,
of course.
Discovers that nicotine is not the only thing delivered by nicotine-free cigarettes. Apparently, it says that people are smoking weed out of these vapes and that somehow the electronic ignition thing or whatever can light the weed and it doesn't emit as much of the telltale smoke and you can put it right in your pocket afterwards, according to them, which, of course, lead you down the road to injecting heroin.
And thank you for explaining how to do that to all our listeners.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. There, it says an actual what you have to do to it first. And, of course, unlike Shelley's reading of the news, I will not be giving you any websites and where to go look stuff up or anything like that.
Wouldn't hash oil work in those things?
You would think.
I got my hash pipe.
Let's see. Here's the quote. Assemblywoman Linda Rosenthal. Once you try electronic cigarettes, you can become hooked to them, move on to cigarettes, and then move on to other drugs.
Yes.
Instead of the fact that most people use vapes to get off of cigarettes.
Yeah, almost everybody I know.
Rather than on to them.
Including me, are using them to wean off of cigarettes.
Now, at the end of this story, this is a quote. WNBC thus proves once again that pretty any much cool innovation can be viewed with alarm if only we think of it like we're little kids.
Drinking water could lead to drinking beer, which can lead to drinking hard alcohol, which could lead to smoking marijuana, which could lead to injecting heroin. So don't drink water.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I'd like to put water in my scotch.
Breathing air... Could you breathe into inhaling vapes? That's right.
Which leads to regular cigarettes, which leads, of course, to heroin.
Yeah.
All roads lead to heroin.
Yeah.
This is kind of cool. Gel-filled gemstones, studied by Italian scientists, make new reusable color-changing breathalyzers. And it works with opals. And this gel that when you breathe on it will immediately be able to tell you just by looking at it, whether it's red or green, like instantly, whether your blood alcohol is above a certain level. And further than that, it can actually tell the amount of alcohol, like by the certain reading. You can take it back to the station, and you can get a digital readout that tells exactly how much alcohol is in it, just like you did a blood alcohol level. And they're reusable, and so it replaces the current testing, which is quite expensive. There you go. You're going to breathe onto a gel-filled rock.
Well, I'm not. Maybe you will, but I'm not. I'll save a seat for you.
I had a customer in my store the other day that had one of those things you have to blow into to start the car.
Oh, an ignition?
And I said, I got to see it, right? So she gets on it. She pulls this thing up, and she starts blowing on it. And she looks up at me and she goes, am I going to get some kind of discount for this? I said, no. I said, no, you're not.
No, but can I take you to dinner next week?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, here we go. Oklahoma woman. Mindy Renee Jones.
Three names.
It is three names, but it's not a drug story. She was arrested on suspicion of drunk driving. They took her to the local hospital to be treated because she appeared to be pretty damn drunk. She blipped out the side doors of the emergency room and took off in an ambulance that was sitting there running.
I thought you said it wasn't a drug story.
Sounds like alcohol.
It's not. Well,
we cannot afford to be confused about alcohol. Alcohol is a drug, period.
Right.
The guys had just delivered a patient to the hospital. She ran and took their place, took off in the ambulance.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Did she turn on the siren?
She appeared to be asleep or passed out when the officer left her by herself in the room. Probably had one eye slightly open. When the officer left, out she went. They caught up to her when she went to her ex-boyfriend's house to try and say hello. That's awesome.
Nice.
Here's another quick one. I like this one a lot. Accused drunk driver picked up at jail by another drunk driver. New York State Police said the woman who came to pick up the man accused of drunk driving
was drunk.
Was at least twice as drunk as the guy she was coming to pick up.
Nice.
Yeah. She had a blood alcohol level twice as high as the guy they had already got.
So were they both spending the night in jail then?
Yes, they both stayed.
He drove her home.
Well, no, he got to go. He got to go, but she had to stay. And let's see, we really only got time. We don't even really have time, but we'll do this one because it's a good alcohol story. Keg crazy car chase.
Okay, explain this, please.
What's worse than leading cops on a 120-mile-per-hour car chase? Throwing a keg out the side window while you're doing it.
Anyway, did the keg hit the cop car?
No.
No, because that would have ended the chase.
Yeah, there would have been no chase after that. Kevin Schleicher hurled the keg while his buddy Colton, spelled with a K, was driving the vehicle.
So it was Colton's keg.
Colton's keg.
How cute.
Sounds
like a pub.
And Colton, 19 years old, shouldn't be having a keg anyway. Three-mile chase. Marathon County, Wisconsin. They tried to pull the guy over for a broken headlight, or taillight, for a broken taillight, and that started it off.
How'd they fit the keg out the window?
Well, that would be a question I would have asked, too.
Because most car windows probably wouldn't be big enough for a keg.
It said, the story is quoted as saying, when pulled over, the car's occupants said they had no knowledge of a keg, and they hadn't been drinking. Police found a receipt for the keg purchase on the passenger side of the car.
Blow it.
And that, my friends, is the end of the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. Damn.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Your dreams were your ticket out.
Welcome back.
Have you got a return ticket?
To the same old place that you laughed about, Shelley. At one time, you did. You laughed about it.
Dream of the mattress.
Did you laugh about that?
No, I am now, but not then.
Shout out.
To the New Way Foundation.
And Sober College.
At SoFullHappens.com.
.com. So, Shelley, what's our topic?
Oh, step 11.
Chiz? You should be able to get this one easy.
No, wait.
It's the medication one.
Yes. Sot?
Sot repair and meditation to improve our conscious contact with our higher power as we understood him.
What?
Medication. Or meditation.
Oh. Which did you choose?
Which was it?
I choose meditation.
Because this may make a big difference in my program.
I choose meditation.
Thank God for that.
Yes.
Okay. So.
What?
What do you feel about step 11 there, Shell?
I had a little bit of trouble with step 11, and the trouble went on for quite a while,
a lot actually.
Why, Shelly? Why?
Because I wasn't feeling it. The meditation thing escapes me. It totally, I will get into, like, the meditative, you're supposed to sit and meditate, right? 5 minutes later, I'm passed out. I fall asleep.
Perfect.
I just can't, you know, I'm like, it's.
Perfect.
And then you have using dreams, which means that's God talking to you.
Yeah, right.
She's meditating in her sleep, having using dreams like
loaded,
last show.
Thanks.
Yeah. But I had a lot of trouble with it for a long time, and I finally realized that, you know, meditation doesn't have to be like a set, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to meditate now. I will clear my mind of everything. You know, it for me, meditation sometimes is, wow, things are going a little bit too fast right now. I'm a little bit, you know, my mind's getting a little swirly. I'm going to sit for a minute. And then I literally sit for a minute. It's just like a reset button, you know.
How about you, Mark?
If I did the third step.
Yes.
Which is I turn my will and my life over to the care of God. Then however long I meditate, was God's will for me to meditate that long.
Ooh, good point.
And who am I to tell God that he didn't have me meditate long enough?
Ooh. Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Where normally, if you were going to meditate, where or when do you normally meditate?
One time about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe it was. I had a Cadillac that I was driving. And I remember thinking that
kind of a maroon?
Yeah. And I remember
burgundy?
Thinking that I needed more time to meditate. A week later, got in the car one time, turned on the radio quit working in the car.
Nice.
I now had quiet time while I was driving.
So you had done step three well, and God said you need to meditate more, so your radio no longer works.
Yeah.
I too.
You borrowed that car one time, and you know.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, what's wrong with your stereo?
Yeah.
Meditate
the
whole way.
Did you meditate?
Yeah. I actually,
it's on the meditation station.
That's actually, I have a tendency that if I forget to do it first thing in the morning, I will often pray and meditate when I'm driving to work, which isn't like a really, really long drive, but I consciously turn off the radio so that I don't have that going on. And I find that, you know, it's supposed to be when you pray is when you're talking to God, and when you meditate is God responding.
Yeah.
God to me is more like my conscience, because God responds to me rather quickly. I may not even be meditating. Like, I might be thinking about doing something, and inside the back of my mind it goes, you know, that's not really a great idea to do that. And I'm like, I didn't even do it yet, and God's already on my back about it. Gets me kind of right. Now, Shelley, where do you normally meditate at? Now, you say you knock right out, so I'm imagining you do it in bed.
Pretty much.
She drives while driving.
She does it while driving, crashes.
Well, I had mentioned in the previous show about the white room meditation that my sponsor taught me.
Yes.
And it used to be because I had trouble sleeping, and I would get through it like 3 or 4 times and before I'd finally fall asleep. Now, I open the door in the white room and it's... I'm done. Yeah. Lasts about 10 seconds.
So now, let's say you were going to explain meditation or how to meditate to someone you sponsor or a newcomer. How would you go about it?
Well, I'd probably print out the meditation I was given, Or
can you give us a synopsis of it?
Well, the synopsis is you in the meditation, you start out imagining yourself in a white room. There's no features. It's just a white room. And then when you...
Just a room owned by the Colombian cartel?
No. You sit down in your mind, you sit down in the white room and you count your breaths for a while. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out. Then you imagine a door on the other side of the room. You open the door, and when you go out of the room, you are in wherever your happy place is. You're safe. You imagine a place for yourself that is...
Dallas Cowboy Cheerleading Training Camp.
Spiritually rewarding.
What is your happy place?
It changes. Sometimes it's the beach. Sometimes it's a wooded glen. Sometimes it's a library.
Yeah. Is there whooshing water in it most of the time?
No, because then that would make me have to go to the bathroom. Yeah.
You know what my happy place is?
Wherever
I'd walk through the door, and it'd be wherever you were.
I knew you were going to say that.
Shucks.
You notice her happy place has nothing to do with me. Wooded glen, beach, you know.
Who said you're not there? I don't know if you're there yet.
You didn't mention it.
Well, at any rate, so then you're in that place and you notice your surroundings. You know, the whole point of it is to calm your heart rate, to sort of clear your mind. When you're done with that place, you go back into the white room and then you center yourself again and you leave the white room and then you come out of the meditation. And it worked pretty well for me for a while. I mean, once in a while I'll still do it if I'm upset. But I would tell my sponsees that. There's also a website called learningmeditation.com that you can go to. And I used that for a while. It was very good. And the other thing is that I would tell them, you know, don't sweat it. This isn't a test. It's not a contest. You don't have to meditate better than the next person. And there are meditation meetings you can go to that, you know, will help you through that.
You know how many people at the end of those meditation meetings? A lot of times they're like candlelight meetings. You're just...
Yeah, I bet quite a few of them fall asleep.
But Mark mentioned that my happy place was with the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders.
Yes.
And see, what I know already is by the time I open the door, Shelly will already be in there with the cheerleaders.
That a girl.
The prayer part of the whole 11th step, I don't have any trouble with that because I pray all the flippin' time. I mean, I have an ongoing dialogue. It's just, and I've learned to do that over time. But when I first started doing the prayer thing, I was going to church and everything, doing all the churchy things, but I was not real comfortable praying. And my sponsor made me do it every single morning for a specific, you know, 5 minutes every morning. And I had to mark it off in my little book because I would forget. And then it just became a habit.
Now, how about you, Mark? Someone comes to you, they're a sponsee or they're a newcomer or whatever. Mark, what the hell is meditation? How do I do it? Because the prayer part, you know, which a lot of people don't really talk about with step 11. I'm glad Shelley brought that up. But people seem by the time they get to that step, they don't have a problem with the prayer part because they've been doing that since step 3.
Well, you know, Shelley pointed out the rudimentary procedures of it, you know. Control your breathing. I used to go to a meditation meeting all the time, and they were real big on that let go, let God mantra. You know. Breathe in, breathe out, let go, let God, and just get your mind right and silence yourself for a couple minutes.
Like that.
Like that.
It's funny because now I feel like I have lame program.
Really?
Because I don't – when I talk to guys about meditation, usually what I tell them to do is the pressing things that you think you have going on, I want you to think about those a little, and then I want you to just be quiet. And God will probably give you the, you know, you should really do this about it, and that's going to be where you're going to find this out, because I don't do the whole I'm going into a white room. I just go somewhere where it's quiet. I don't steady my breathing. I don't do anything like that. I will drive with the radio off, and I'll think about whatever my day is going to be like, and then let whatever comes in come in.
Well, there's more to the 11th step than that, because it's a matter of asking God to please
direct
me to do your will.
To improve the conscious contact.
Yeah, and give me the power to carry that out.
And I think a lot of people, I don't know, and I'm sure you guys do as well, there are often times that I pray during the day. Oftentimes. And certainly every time I do that, I'm improving my conscious contact because
right.
I'm consciously thinking, hey, you know what? I should pray right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't as often think about it. I tend to meditate more in either the morning or the night. Usually it's the morning, though, mm-hmm. because usually I meditate at the beginning of my day because the end of my day is like the end of my day. You know, that's my 10th step time. The beginning of my day is where I'm like, here's what I got going on today. Let me see what you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I can meditate during a football game. I mean, I can multitask.
Oh, I'm sure it's a calm, count my breaths meditation.
No.
They're on the 2-minute drive.
Yeah.
They're in the red zone.
Yeah.
Mark's meditating. He's leaning back. He's got his feet in the lotus position. He's got his fingers touching out to the sides, and he's like, om.
It's 4th and 10. Somebody just fumbled, and
oh
he's like,
"Oh my god!"
Yeah.
Guy just throws up. Well, of course, and you know what happens? It's a Hail Mary play. You know.
Then I'm praying.
Yeah.
Catch that!
Actually, not wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah, so, they tried to get rid of prayer in schools. In order to do that, you would have to take out all the tests.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, try and get rid of prayer in schools and see who's not praying about that pop quiz they just got.
Yeah.
You look around the room, you know, one Christian kid's praying, Muslim kid's got a mat on the floor. You know, here comes your pop quiz. Oh, no.
I always like the sign that said, in the event of a nuclear launch, school prayer will be immediately reinstated.
God, you know what? When I was a kid... And you'll remember this, I'm sure, Mark. When I was a kid, we had air raid drills.
Oh, yeah.
And well, they were...
They made desks better then.
Yeah. Get underneath your desk.
Yes, they did.
Get underneath... The only
desks
thing I remember
were a lot better
is...
quality back
get
then.
Underneath your desk and get away from the windows.
Yeah.
Because they figured if somewhere got nuked, it would probably be L.A.
Uh-huh.
And we probably wouldn't be immediately blasted by radiation.
Right.
And, like, everything wouldn't be destroyed where we were at. But all the windows were breaking, and probably some stuff is going to come in.
Yeah, but if you're under your desk, you're okay.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
It was like hiding under the covers from the monsters.
That's right.
It can't get you. If
no,
you're
monsters.
Your desk.
Monsters right. have a no cover removal policy.
Lean forward, put your head between your knees, and kiss your ass goodbye.
Yeah.
Still to this day, over in West Covina, right over near where we were at a park over there, Cortez Park. They have a set of air raid sirens. I haven't heard them go off in years and years and years.
Why would you?
They used to go off, though. I mean, they used to go off even as late as probably – I was in high school and they were still going off. So
when I was a kid and we lived back east, there were two different sirens. There was the siren – it was the same siren, but there were different calls. There was the tornado warning siren.
Yes.
And there was the air raid drill siren. And they would do that in the small towns.
And you did similar things for both.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Get on the ground.
When I went to school up in Oregon, we went to Mount St. Helens after the eruption. And we went – I was with this science class, environmental ethics. I have no idea why we were going to – it had nothing to do
mushrooms.
Had nothing to do with our class at all, but I think the teacher just wanted to go. And because if you had students, you could take them into these areas you weren't supposed to go. And they had built this highway – that went straight from the main road straight up to the middle of what they called the red zone, which is like right at the near the bottom of the volcano.
Yeah.
And as we're driving in, there is this gigantic billboard that says – it's got a big picture of a thing that looks like an air raid siren. It says, these are the high-low warning sirens. If you hear the high-low warning sirens, you're to evacuate the area immediately. Drive straight out. So that's in the yellow zone. We get to the red zone, and there is no big billboard. There's just a thing that says red zone. And I asked the guy, why isn't there a thing about the high-low warning sirens? He goes, because this is the red zone. If you need the high-low warning sirens, you won't be able to get out of here fast enough.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I'm all for school. And I'll tell you what, my meditative quality
How the heck did we get off on this tangent?
My meditative quality then... was not that good. It really wasn't
that good.
But
your prayer quality went way up, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh. And I wasn't even really into prayer then, and I think I said a prayer. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you had been up there then, because you know you always hear about what things look like. I was right there on the ground. Mm-hmm. That entire area was, it looked like you, when we have a big brush fire here and everything's burnt up and the ground's all, it was like that. Everything was like that. And what used to be the lake was a bunch of mud, and what used to be the river was a bunch of mud. Yeah. And it was the grayest, reminded me of things after 9/11 where people come out of the rubble and they're just completely gray and everyone looks the same color because they're all gray.
You want to watch people's prayer improve? Push the button on an airplane that makes the oxygen mask drop.
Yes, instant prayer.
That'll do it.
So, Shelley.
Yes.
What would your final words on air raid sirens be? No. What would
on your, this recovery pack
what
edition?
Would your, which, what would your final words on step 11 be?
If you're worried about your quality or lack thereof of your meditation and prayer, don't worry about it because your higher power accepts you no matter what.
Ooh. Ah. Mark.
If you are earnestly looking for direction from your higher power on how to, looking for the direction and how to carry that out, you're fine.
Okay. Well, that was a hiccup. I will say something that I said earlier, which is the way I was always told is prayer is when you talk to God and meditation is when God talks back. Mark, yes. We have a friend back east.
That'd be Bruce.
The other white meat.
Runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can read his fine publication online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription prescription, and they'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you have a recovery home or a sober living or someplace where many of us sick gather, contact Bruce. He'll send you some hard copies to strew about the facility.
Awesome.
And if you're interested in a franchise, also contact Bruce. He'll give you all the information you need to bring the 12-Step Gazette to your little corner of the world.
Cool. Shelley.
Yes, any way that you listen to the show is fine. We really appreciate it. We love our listeners. However, if you could go to recovery101.net, that's our page. Click on the top show or any show.
Permalink.
I haven't gotten to that yet. Okay. I just said click on the show. It's you are not the boss of this little.
It's a really big
if you click on the show, it's going to pop up a small player.
I was about to say click like or permalink.
Oh, there you go.
Wait. Yes.
Yes.
If you are a member of Podomatic, you will be counted, and that helps us with our numbers. If you're not, you can become a member. It is free.
And fun.
You can follow us. That will give you automatic updates of when we post the new shows. You can like old shows and leave topics and comments and topic suggestions. I'm messing this up really badly.
Sure.
You can also add us to your playlist for all of your holiday party needs.
Whoop, whoop.
Your Christmas party will never be the same again.
But people will leave early.
And they will remember it. Oh, my gosh. I went to some Christmas party.
All I heard was... we've got a Facebook page that is a fan page where you can, I suppose, follow us. But it's really just like. But if you do that, things will show up in your news feed from us. That is the Recovery 101 Radio show page. If you want to keep your anonymity on Facebook, you can join the Recovery 101 group, which is a closed group, meaning that anything you post in there and stuff you read there does not post to your page. If you want to be of the anonymous type, they will welcome you in there. There's interesting discussions and schmutz going on there. We've got an email address, which is recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can send in show topics, comments, and boozy news to there. If you ever want to record a jingle for us, you can also send it there. We have if you'd like to join the crack advertising staff, that's not the staff advertising the use of crack. It's just the crack advertising staff. You can do that at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelley, who's the lead out music by?
I think I'm going to do a blast from the past with 8 Days Clean.
Awesome. You going to pick a certain song?
Well, no. I'll pick when I get there.
Okay. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
They're gonna have a private conversation with Jesus.